Hello, No BS. How is everyone today? Let me get all of my things all set. All right. Can you hear me? Can you hear me nice and clear? Tell me in the chat. Yes. Awesome. Great. I am so excited to be here. I am looking for Coach Julie. There you are. Coach Julie is going to be helping me out in the Q&A. Hang on. Trying to get Zoom to work this morning. Julie, it's letting me promote you to panelist. So that's what I'm doing. So I hope that's right. You can let me know. You can let me know if that's not right. You are now a panelist. So here she comes. Beautiful. All right. I love you guys too. I love you guys too. So for everyone, oh, and Julie says perfection. Y'all, when Coach Julie says perfection, I'm going with it. All right. So let's start with telling you who I am. So for those of you who are brand new, haven't seen me on a call, don't know me, I'm Kathy, Coach Kathy. I am the other voice on the Losing 100 Pounds podcast. And my very unique and special and amazing role on the No BS team is that I run all things community. So if you have ever met me, if you know me, you know I love to spread the love. I love to be that kind and compassionate voice inside my head, inside your head, teaching you how to find the voice in your head. And in doing so, you create that loving, nurturing relationship with yourself and with the people around you. So that's my unique role within No BS. I'm super excited to be here. I've been around for a while, lost my weight with Corinne, learned how to run with Corinne. So all of y'all who are thinking about DSB, I want you to know Corinne, Jane, they're the ones that taught me how to run. Okay. And, you know, these knees aren't, you know, like marathon knees. They taught me how to manage the pain around the knees. They taught me how to manage the arthritis. Is the audio a little low? Let me see if I can get my speaker a little bit, my mic a little bit closer to me. See if that helps. Okay. They taught me how to manage my arthritis around my knees, taught me great recovery techniques, all the things. So I want to encourage you to really think about Don't Stop Believing. It's my favorite event, y'all. Seriously, there's nothing like watching y'all cross that finish line with so much pride and accomplishment, success. I just love it. So let's get rolling here. Welcome to any new members. Do we have any newbies in the house? Tell me if you're a newbie. If this is your first Q&A, I would love to hear that. This Kelly Grimm is new. That's awesome. Caitlin, awesome. Cindy. All right. So this is a Q&A. This is not a coaching call. I'm going to be answering questions. Coach Julie is going to be answering questions in the Q&A. So if you have a question about No BS, about the No BS course, about the No BS community, which is my specialty, anything like that, go ahead and drop those in the Q&A. Julie will answer some. She'll leave some for me, and this call will take about an hour. If you want to chat with everyone, that's perfect. It's beautiful. Make sure your two, the little bar after your two sign, says everyone. Okay. If it says hosts and panelists, the only people you are talking to are me and Coach Julie. And neither one of us is really checking the chat because I'm working the screen and you guys, and Coach Julie is working the Q&A. Okay. So make sure if you're wanting to chat with everyone else, that you are chatting to everyone. excuse me. So March newbies, let's talk to you for a minute. Congratulations on finishing your first month with No BS. There's so much goodness ahead of you. And I want you to know that if you have not finished the No BS course, it is okay. 100%, it's okay. That just means you're taking it at your pace. You're watching videos when you can. You're applying things as you learn them. Some people breeze through it super fast, and some people take some time. Neither is a problem, okay? You get to work at the pace you want to work at. If you remember in orientation, actually, it's called Quick Start now. In the Quick Start, Corinne talks about the three different types of learners, the bottom line bitch, the moderation mama, the deep dive diva. I want you to think about which one you really are without judging which one you really are, okay? I saw a post in the Facebook group this week, and it was this, I don't remember exactly what it said, so I'm paraphrasing, but it said, I really, really want to be a deep dive diva, but I just don't have the time. And I and they were shaming themselves, basically shaming themselves for not being a deep dive diva. Well, y'all, not everyone is one. I'm a bottom line bitch. Seriously, if I get an email in my email box that is miles long, I don't read the first thing, or I read the bolded sections and move on. I just give me exactly what I need to know to lose weight, to keep my weight off, to train for DSB, to show up my best, whatever it is. Give me exactly what I need to know. I don't need a lot of fluff. That's how I lost my weight, y'all, as a bottom line bitch. You can totally do it as a bottom line bitch. Okay? So remember that. No shaming yourself for having a different learning style than somebody else. Okay. All right. Next. So I wanted the newbies to hear that. I think that's a very, very important lesson. So if this is your first Q&A, if you have not been to Q&A before, that's my gift to you. If you're a bottom line bitch, embrace it and use it like you know how to do it. So when you are finished with no BS, listen to me again, when you are finished with no BS, I want you to check out the what's next page under self-stored study resources. Okay. This is going to tell you how to decide what your next steps are with no BS. It could be anything from going back through no BS a second time to picking one of our self-study courses. Okay. So I don't want you to get overwhelmed by that page. There are quite a few choices, but they're there because different people have different needs. Different people have different things they want to study. So you pick the study place that you want to go in. A lot of times people go to Basics 2.0 next because it takes those four basics and it dives a little bit deeper into each one. Yeah, Coach Kara just posted Basic 2.0 is great. It is. It's a lot of Corinne explaining concepts about the basics. If you don't know what to choose, where do you think you go? To the Ask Coaches, right? I would get in Ask Coaches and say, I've just finished no BS. Here's what I learned. Here's what I still need to work on. What do you suggest? If you can't figure that out on the What's Next page, take it to Ask Coaches. Coach Julie and the other coaches will certainly help you decide. Now, if you, this is April, and we have just released the brand new Trusting Your Body program. So Coach Jane, who is, as y'all know, Corinne's best friend, they went through coach certification together, they went through mastermind together. They have created this amazing Trusting Your Body program that is all about getting in tune with what your body needs. It is incredible. I did it. I've worked through the program. I've worked the worksheets. It's an amazing resource. It builds on no BS, y'all. This is the important thing to hear, okay? Finish no BS first. If you haven't, then go to Trusting Your Body because there are concepts in Trusting Your Body that refer back to the no BS program. And I want you to have the basis you need to get everything you can out of that new program. So on Mondays, Jane will be doing bonus calls on how to use the tools in the program. And on Saturday, the coaches will be helping you through worksheets and applications. So no BS training calendar, that's where all the information is about those calls. You'll also get, if you got today's Zoom reminder, you will get Zoom reminders for each of those calls that tell you exactly what you're going to learn. Talked about DSB. It kicked off this week, but it's not too late to join y'all. not too late. Jump in now and you'll get the replay of Sunday's kickoff call. And we've got a bustling Facebook group going with all kinds of, I love seeing all the, got my training in, did my strength training, did my walk today. I love seeing all those. Y'all, this is the last in-person event for 2022. Downtown Nashville. It's a beautiful, beautiful place to be in June. So I highly encourage it. I love this event. Let's talk about Queen's Club. We had 12 new members of Queen's Club this week. And if you're new here, know that you don't have to lose the weight with an OBS to join Queen's Club. Okay. You just need to lose 25 pounds, be down 25 pounds, join Queen's Club, fill out our little survey by going to main menu, the main homepage menu, and it's under Planner Plus My Extras. 12 people, that's awesome. The quote of the week from someone who joined Queen's Club, Trissa Greenfield, she says, "The weight loss is awesome, but I'm not going to lie. The miracle has been the change in how I feel about myself. I feel confident and capable. I love who I am. I'm excited about the future. And it's all because of the amazing tools OBS has to offer." Boom, right? I love, y'all, losing weight is amazing. Losing physical weight is amazing. But when you have shifts in how you think about yourself and how you appreciate your commitment to your weight loss, when you begin to feel confident and capable, like Trissa has, there's just nothing better. You're improving the quality of your life physically and emotionally. Such a big deal, don't you think? Such a big deal. And then we need to celebrate Lisa. Last name is D-U-P-U-I-S. So I'm going to say Dupuis. Lisa, I'm sorry if that's not correct, but she joined Century Club, 100 pounds down, 100 pounds. Lisa, everybody give it up for Lisa, right? 100 pounds down. Lisa says, "The sense of community and that there is always someone who truly understands and is willing to help is what helped her the most. The content is fantastic and geared in such a way that the aha moments keep flowing." Absolutely. And yet, you know, as the community person here, the sense of community, the fact that she brought that out just makes my heart sing, because that's really such an important facet of NoBS that you won't find anywhere else. That safe, supportive, sensitive, loving community. It's what we're all about, right? Lifting each other up, being there. I can't tell you the number of people I know who've lost their weight, who will never leave because their people are inside that Facebook group. You know, that's where they love being. That's their home base. All right, moving on now. If this is you, I want you to listen up. I've done the course, How Do I Kickstart Weight Loss? Think about the difference between motion and action. So this comes from the book Atomic Habits by James Clear, one of the NoBS recommendations. You'll find it, if you like this distinction and you want to read Atomic Habits, just go to the Faves page on NoBSWomen.com. I think Kara can probably link you here. Kickstarting weight loss is really cluing into the difference between motion and action. Now, we used to, in the old days, call motion passive action and action massive action. So for you oldies but goodies, there's a little terminology shift for you. So in NoBS, motion is watching the courses but not doing the worksheets. Or maybe doing the worksheets but not implementing the learning. Right? Maybe you bought a planner, but you're not using it. Buying a planner is motion, but you're not using it. So there's no action associated with it. Listening to podcasts, whether they're private member podcasts or Losing 100's podcast, but not taking notes or using the takeaways. So basically, you're in motion when you're taking in information, but you're not really acting on what you've learned. That's where action comes in. So no BS action is doing things like tracking your habits consistently so you have data. Got that sweet habit tracker in the planner, y'all. That's what we use it for, right? Using assessment tools to figure out where you want to level up. All right. So you've got a daily assessment. You've got a weekly assessment. You've got a monthly assessment, all in your planner. You have fill those out, but actually do the things, plan the things in that you list in the assessment tools. Actually put them into action that next week, that next day, that next month. And no BS action is also deciding your next best step and committing to it for 2 weeks. This is super important, this 2 weeks part. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm going to raise mine. How many of you say, I'm going to try this today? And then when you didn't see immediate results, you tried something else the next day, and you tried something else the next day, and you tried something else the next way. This is called bouncing around, y'all. This is not called putting something into action. You have to give it 2 weeks to properly assess and evaluate whether or not you want to continue. Okay? So when you decide your next best step, you also decide to do that for 2 weeks. Okay? And then at the end of 2 weeks, you look back on that 2 weeks and see how it changed what you were doing. What kind of results you got? Evaluate. How did you feel when you were doing it? What were you telling yourself? That's when all those evaluation steps come in. And then the last part of no BS action is asking for help. Now, in the orientation calls that Corinne does, that Kara does, that I used to do, there are three places where you can ask for help, right? You got to ask coaches on the website. You got the Facebook group if you want to crowdsource. Let's say, I can't find enough. What do you do? What is your enough signal look like? A beautiful question to crowdsource in the Facebook group. You're going to get hundreds of answers. I'm not following my plan. How do you make sure you follow your plan? Crowdsource that information. Okay? Get up. That's what the community is there for. That's what the community is there for. It's to help you, support each other. So try these things. Really think about whether you're in motion or whether you're in action. And action includes the application of things that you're learning. And then in May, we're going to do a special quick start call for you where you can get coached. Okay? All right. Let's get on to questions. Let's see what we have here. Angie wants to know, Kathy, how much can you run with knee arthritis? I have it in both knees and want to jog a little. Thank you. Okay. Angie, this is going to be a very, very individual question. All right. So I can give you my own experience, but I want you to really evaluate your own experience as you do this. Okay. So Corinne took me out to the Greenway. The very first time I ever tried, I mean, to really run since I was, you know, a grown up. And she had me jog, not run. This is an important distinction because I was really bad about, oh, time to run, sprint, right? And then I couldn't catch my breath. So jog just a little bit faster. Just pick your feet up a little bit faster than you will when you're walking. I would do that for 1 minute. And then I would walk and recover for 4 minutes. I mean, that was seriously, those were the intervals I did for my very first half marathon. Jog 1 minute, walk 4 minutes, okay? The most important thing I want to tell you about, Angie, when it comes to having arthritis in your knees is not the running. It's the recovery. It's the prep and the recovery. So it's going to be super important for you to strengthen the muscles around your knees so they help stabilize the joint. So that's why you have strength training when you have when you train for events like this. And the other important thing is recovery. So I would come in every afternoon after my run, and I would ice my knees, or I would get in an Epsom salts bath, or I would put legs up the wall. Do y'all the very first DSB that I helped train, train everyone who ran, and I would talk about legs up the wall all the time. And I remember turning around and looking, and so many of the girls that had finished were on their backs with their legs up the wall at the, you know, recovering at the finish line. So that's all you do. You just scoot your bottom up to the wall. You put your legs so they go up and you're laying down on the floor. Those are the kinds of things that I would do. So if you have already signed up, I would ask this question in the Facebook group. And Jane has a Q&A post every Monday. So all you have to do is, and she is checking that post through the week, all you have to do is ask that question. And she will give you, you know, she's a training beast. She'll give you some resources as well. Okay. I decided this morning that I'm not going to write down the food for the day. When we were on vacation, I only did the doable hunger method. It was so natural and it worked. I've been doing good these past few weeks, but I feel like I'm on a little bit more of a Weight Watchers mentality. If I write it down, it's mine. And that's not what I want. Why not? I'll continue to use the planner day and night and journal thoughts. So I'm very curious, Missy, about why you don't want to write down your food, why you don't want to commit to what food you're going to eat. Granted, I'll give you that when I'm on vacation and I don't know what's going to be ahead of me and I want to have a little bit more flexibility, I will totally rely on the doable hunger method. But when I'm on home at home, writing down my food has me practicing commitment to my plan. Okay. So what your plan is basically is to follow the doable hunger method. And that's fine if that's working for you. But I would really look at what the benefit is in your brain to not writing down the food. You know, what's really behind there? If it's a thought like, I don't know if I'll follow my plan, then you need to really dig in and examine that. Okay. If it's a thought like, I don't know what I'm going to eat, why not? I mean, because you're going to know when you go, if you don't plan lunch, you're going to know when you go downstairs what you're going to eat. Why don't you know when you make your plan? You see what I'm saying? I would look at why you don't want to plan specific foods when you're at home in routine doing your things. Because I think that's just the next level step of making a commitment to yourself and to your plan and to your weight loss. So I hope that helps. Ori joined in February, and I know you get asked this a lot. Uh-oh, just jumped. Here we go. But how can I get past the thought, I will never lose weight if I put whatever I want to eat on my plan? This is such a great question after the last question, right? If you put whatever you want to eat on your plan and you follow the doable hunger method, you're going to lose weight. And here's why. Because you're going to realize that you're not eating as much, that you don't need to eat as much. You know, I taught a class years ago that was the secret, the one thing, the secret to losing weight. And the answer, the secret was to stop overeating. It wasn't to only eat diet foods. It's stopping overeating. That's the biggest thing that will help you lose weight. The other basics support stopping overeating. Think about it. We drink water to keep ourselves hydrated because when we are a little bit dehydrated, our body thinks we're hungry, so we eat, even though we're really thirsty and we don't need to eat. We go to bed at night. We get 7 to 9 hours of sleep because if you're not sleeping, your body thinks it needs more energy. So it will send you hunger signals or urges to eat when you really wouldn't need to eat if you'd gone to bed at night and gotten some sleep, right? Then the whole planning thing just puts all those food decisions into the decision-making part of your brain rather than that reactive part of the brain that wants to be at the vending machine at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, So you've got your own back by making the choices of what you know you're going to eat so that you can keep your commitment not only to yourself, but to your plan and to the doable hunger method. Do you see how they all kind of wrap in together around overeating? So when you plan what you're really going to eat, you're committing to the plan, you keep your commitments, and you commit to the doable hunger method, layer that on the top just a little bit, and you're not overeating, you're going to lose weight. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. Does that make sense? Caitlin says it does. Caitlin says this all makes so much sense now. It does. It really, really does. I'll never forget thinking about how much sense I thought Corinne made. You know, why didn't anybody teach me this stuff earlier? All right. Leanne says, good morning, Kathy and Julie. Any suggestions of a video replays for getting back on track after vacation? Yeah, no BS. Module one. Seriously, all you have to do is revisit your basics. When you come back from vacation, let me say this. I read John Acuff's book, Finish, a few years ago. I've read it several times now. And he said something in that book that was probably the most impactful thing I had ever thought about my own weight loss. And that is, how you show up the day after vacation or loosening up your food protocol or having an overeat, getting right back in and following the basics, doing your plan, following your plan, doing your doable hunger method, that's the magic day. Because how many of you, seriously, how many would do a diet, Weight Watchers? We'll just use Weight Watchers. I bet I was a Weight Watcher 10 times in my life. But I'll tell you, the minute I overate my points or I didn't record my food, I was done, right? And then months later, here I'd go back to Weight Watchers, right? How many times have you quit on yourself after that first off-plan eat or that first overeat or that first time you didn't track whatever you were tracking? That's what you do in No BS. You keep coming back. You keep assessing mistakes. You keep showing back up on that next day. That's what makes No BS so different, is that we use those mistakes. We use those vacations. We use all those things to say, you know what? I'm just going to start today and I'm going to follow my basics. Which basic am I going to focus on today? So, Leanne, that's what I would ask you. Which basic is going to be the easiest one for you to slide right on back into today? Did you make a plan? Is it doable? Is it a doable plan or a wishful plan? If it's doable, commit to following it. And then see what you can layer in on top of that. You just jump right back in right after your vacation. That's all it takes to show up just like you know what you're going to do. Can you talk about early bird pricing, when it's going up and what it's going to do? I'm thinking about upgrading if I can, but don't know when I can commit. All right. So this is DSB, early bird pricing. So, Julie or Kara, I'm not certain what the price is going to move to. I don't remember exactly, but it is going to go up on April 15th, just a little bit. So that because we are already planning, already planning all the things, right? So early bird pricing is going to go up on the 15th. If you are going to move from virtual to in-person, man, I highly recommend that you do. Downtown Nashville is so cool. We have so many cool things planned. I can't wait. Can't wait for y'all to hear about all of them. But if you do upgrade from virtual to in-person, I would try to do that by the 15th because the price is going to go up a little bit. I have a vacation to Disney coming in 2 weeks. Already nervous about all the food. I have a hard time eating to enough. And when I'm sitting in a restaurant with delicious special food in front of me, it's going to take some willpower. Any tips to survive and enjoy it? Yeah. Stop using willpower. Okay. Willpower is an energy suck. If you're sitting there and your thoughts are, this is so good. I know I've had enough, but I don't want to stop. I don't want to, it sounds very emotional. It sounds, it makes me feel really tight in my body. So it's an energy suck. It's got me all tensed up. Instead, if you can think to yourself, I have amazing food choices in Disney. I can choose from any of these things and I can choose them again if I love them. So think about the special food in front of you. Why is it special? Can you have it again? Is it really what you want your vacation to focus on? Can you survive with all this willpower and resistance? Or do you need to try to survive with lush thoughts about who you're with, whether or not you can order that again? Why is this so important to me? What would I rather be doing right now? Questions like that. What do I want the result of my vacation to be? That's the biggest thing. If you, Lisa, I would love for you to go to take into Ask Coaches and say, in 2 weeks, I'm going to Disney. And when I finish my vacation at Disney, I want to have this result. I want to maintain. I want to lose 2 pounds. I'm okay with gaining 2 pounds. And here are the things that I plan to do to make that result come to be. What suggestions do you have for me? I want you to think through all that. What result do you want? Do you want the result to be, I ate everything in the park? Or do you want the result to be, I did an amazing job tasting the things that I wanted to taste and evaluating what I was going to eat? I did an amazing job thinking through my selections and deciding what I wanted to have again. See, make it easy instead of make it hard. When you're thinking about willpower and the delicious special foods, you're making those decisions hard. You make them easy when you take the time to enjoy and evaluate and assess. Coach Jane told me one time, food has to earn its way into her body. So it's got to make her feel good. She's got to love it. She's not going to, y'all, I'm not going to eat beets, right? Beets don't earn their way into this body. I hate beets. I hate cabbage. You know, I'm not going to eat that stuff. It doesn't earn its way in, even though it's amazing diet food, right? No, it's a no. If I go to Disney, okay, I've been to Disney one time, so I don't remember the food. So just bear with me here. Say I go to Disney and I stop at this booth and I want a funnel cake. Man, I want a funnel cake really bad. I'm hungry, order a funnel cake, eat it to enough, decide whether or not I'm loving it and enjoying it, decide whether to keep eating. That's it. You don't have to eat everything that's brought to you. You eat if you're enjoying it and your body's ready for it. That's it. Let's see where we are here. Oh, I think Julie is cleaning these for me. Thank you, Julie. All right. I find myself still stuck in a binge and restrict cycle and could really use some help managing the thoughts on how to either stop the overeat in the first place or what to do to make my next best decision forward. This is a tough one to answer without a little bit more detail, Anonymous, but I'm going to do the best I can for you. A binge restrict cycle can perpetuate binge eating, and here's how. If you restrict, like super restrict, because for whatever reason, because you think you need to lose weight, because you just had a binge, because you've had an overeat, whatever it is, if you go into restriction mode, your brain is going to fire up all the urges. It's going to say, wait, what? We can't have Tootsie Rolls? We can't have Oreos? We can't have cereal? Right? What? No, we need those things. It's gonna rebel against the restriction, especially if you are in a binge restrict cycle. So my advice to you is to, if you haven't gone through Trusting Your Body, I would certainly do that course. But my advice to you is to plan a doable plan after a binge. Okay, make it super doable, something you know you're going to follow. Okay, not a chicken and broccoli plan because you have to punish yourself or because you have to make up for the binge or because you have to do whatever it is your brain is telling you. No, none of that. Okay, we don't react to a binge by restricting our food. We react to a binge by processing it, figuring out what the trigger was, trying to decide what we'll do next time, coming out of the shame cycle and actually doing some assessment work. If you go straight into the punishing and the restricting, you're not coming out of that shame cycle, and it's going to prompt you to binge again, which you have identified here when you talk about the binge and restrict cycle. So as you make those next best decisions, that would be you creating a plan that you know you're going to follow. And it's, I'd really look at that Trusting Your Body program. It's so, so good and really, really helps with this kind of issue. Okay? Is that good? All right. Heather says something really good over here. She said, the cycle only ends when you end it. Sounds so simple, but it finally worked for me. She said, forgiveness. Yeah, forgiveness is such a powerful tool to use for any mistake that you make, whether it's an eating, whether it's an overeat or an off-plan eat or something else in your life, because forgiveness isn't for someone else. It's for you. Forgiveness. Did y'all see the Mr. Rogers movie? Y'all know I'm kind of a dork that way. I love Mr. Rogers. Grew up with him. And in the movie, I swear he must have been the very first life coach. I'm looking for my quote here. I have so many quotes. I'll have to just wing it. In the movie, he talked about forgiveness being the decision you make to release the feelings of anger you have toward yourself or someone else. So if you are forgiving yourself, it's all it is the release of anger you have toward yourself about the situation. If you're forgiving someone else, you're releasing your anger toward them. And when you're able to do that, man, your space just opens right up. You feel better. You show up better. So forgiveness, especially in a binge restrict cycle, is going to be super important. It's going to help you move forward. Jennifer is going to be heading to Vegas on Saturday. I'm wanting to put together a vacation protocol. I always make one, but never seem to follow it. Is this because it's not doable? Probably. Yeah. How and what ways can I make my vacation protocol a little more doable? Ask yourself, what am I going to want to eat while I'm there? And can I commit to eating that using my doable hunger method? Maybe that's the constraint. I love that word. Maybe that's a constraint you give yourself. I can have anything to eat that I want as long as I'm hungry and as long as I stop at enough. I would, Jennifer, plan your drinks. If you're going to Vegas and you're a drinker, I would either plan a drinking window or I would plan the number of drinks you're going to have each day. But beyond that, doable hunger method, man. I'm serious. I'm all over it. And if your vacation protocol does not have the things you know you're going to eat on it or the things you know you're going to want that are special to Vegas, you better put it on there. Okay? Make it doable, but commit to that doable hunger method. That's going to be the key thing for you. Molly says, I just started through the journal prompts for weight and body image. The first one is, what do I think about the scale? And my answer had to do with being excited to step on the scale when I wake up feeling skinny and dreading stepping on the scale when I wake up feeling heavy. Good catch on those thoughts, girl. Good catch. I know the corresponding thoughts are, I'm going to see a drop in weight and I know I'm going to be up in weight. How do I work through those thoughts to get to the scale is just a number that reflects my commitment to the No BS program? Now, reading that, I see that that's not even close to a neutral thought. I'm so glad you said that because I was going to say that. How can I work through my relationship with an over on the scale better. Okay, let's go back to this thought. This is such a telling thought. The scale is just a number that reflects my commitment to the NoBS program. No, the scale does not reflect commitment. The scale measures the gravitational pull of your body to the earth. That's all it does. It doesn't reflect commitment. You can be as committed as the day is long and not lose weight, right? That's the key. The scale gives you feedback about your week. It doesn't cast a judgment on your week. It just says, you maintained this week. You lost 2 pounds this week. You gained 2 pounds this week. That's all it does. It's up to you to create the judgment thought around that number, all right? Judgment thought can be, I was committed this week. You're judging yourself as committed. Judgment thought can be, I'm such a loser, I gained weight this week. You're judging yourself the loser. A judgment is an opinion, right? It's a thought, right? The T line. What the scale tells you is not whether or not you've been committed, whether or not you followed a plan, whether or not you followed your dual hunger method. It spits a number at you. Funny scale story. I lost weight using one scale all the way down, and then the scale died. I was like, okay, going to go to Target, get a new scale, right? Weighed myself, got the new scale, brought it home, stepped on it. I was up 6 pounds from the last time I had weighed on my old scale, right? It's a $25 scale from Target. My first thought was 6 pounds. And then I thought, wait, I'm not going to give all of my emotion, all of my passion, all of my anger, all of my frustration to this $25 hunk of metal that has a 6 pound tolerance. I looked at the box, had a 5 or 6 pound tolerance on it, which meant this $25 scale was going to hit me. My weight was going to be somewhere within a 5 or 6 pound range. Okay. That's why we don't let the scale tell us how we feel, because the scale measures gravitational pull imperfectly. Okay. So I love that you caught your thought. The scale is just a number that reflects my commitment to the NoBS program, because that's just not true. That's a thought error, right? What reflects your commitment to the NoBS program is your thoughts and your actions when it comes to doing the things it takes to lose weight. That reflects your commitment. So how do you work on your relationship with the number of the scale better? You keep telling yourself, all it's doing is spitting me a number. I decide what I make the number mean. And I'm going to do that based on my assessment of the week, not based on the number it gives me. Fill out that weekly assessment. Tell yourself, you know, what went right? What didn't go so well? What do I want to improve on? What's my next level up next week? That's what reflects your commitment. Okay? Caitlin, I could use some advice on approaching last minute plans. I'm in my mid 20s and my friends will last minute get together for drinks, trivia gatherings. I don't want to deny the time with my friends, but oftentimes it gets in the way of my typical eating time when I will be cooking at home. What happens if I end up being hungry while we're out at said restaurant or place and I didn't plan to eat there for the day? It's a great question, because things like this happen, right? You have so many options. So many options, Caitlin. You have, obviously, eat at home before you go. You have eat at home when you get home. And you have eat wherever you've gone. Now, will that result in an off-plan eat? Yeah, maybe. But you do your discovery worksheet and you decide whether or not you liked the reasons. This is what's so key. Corinne doesn't teach us doable planning so that we become inflexible. She teaches us doable planning so we think about what we're going to eat. So maybe you look at your plan and you say, okay, I planned steak and a baked potato. Oh, look, where we're going has steak and a baked potato. or it has foods that are close to steak and baked potato, maybe grilled chicken and home fries. I don't know. You see what I'm saying? The point here is that you eat, plan and eat consciously based on what you think is best in the situation. Things are going to come up. You get to decide whether or not you're going to eat off plan and whether or not you like the reasons you chose to eat off plan. So if you're showing up at one of these gatherings and you're like, oh, thank God, I really didn't want to eat that steak and baked potato. I just want a cheeseburger and fries and I'm going to eat every bite of it. You might not like that choice. You might not like that reason when you do your discovery worksheet. But if you go into it and you think, you know what? I had steak and baked potato planned. I can go to this place and I can get a burger off the bun with all the vegetables, cheese or no cheese, and, you know, a side salad. Yeah, it's a great swap. I think I'm going to do that. That feels good to me. You see the difference? See how that works? It's still you having your own back. It's just a little bit different when it comes to plans that change. Caitlin says, that makes sense. I considered finding equal substitution in these types of situations. Yeah. No guilt. Like your decisions. Have your own back. That's the big thing here. All right. Marcy is very confused. Kathy said not to use willpower, but being able to stop at enough is totally using willpower to me. What's the difference? All right. Marcy, thank you for saying that. When you first start, it may feel like willpower. It may feel hard because it's new. It's a change that you are adapting in your life. So yes, when you first start eating to enough, it may feel like willpower. It may feel hard, and that's okay. The more you do it, though, the more you get used to doing it, the more your brain doesn't fight you on it. So it will become easier. You won't have to pull in as much willpower. If you're sitting there, willpower is sort of like a feeling, okay? If you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can stop it enough. I don't know if I can do this. It's going to feel really hard, right? But if you're sitting there and you're thinking, this is the way I can lose weight. It might not feel really easy right now, but I'm going to give it a shot. It might still use a little bit of willpower, but it's going to feel a little bit different in your body. It's going to feel like you have your own back. It's going to feel like you know the result that you want to create. And that is leaving some food behind, stopping it enough, having some weight loss this week, whatever it is. Okay. Does that help, Marcy? If you'll post in the chat, if that distinction helps, I totally want to give you exactly if you're brand new and you haven't been practicing stopping it enough, that it can feel hard. It can feel different because it's not something that you're used to doing. Your brain is going to be like, what do you mean leaving food behind? We've never done that before. We should eat, right? And then you coming back and saying, yeah, but I've had enough and all this food's here and I'm not sure if this is the right thing. That's what's going to feel confusing and feel hard. You just keep, Penny says that really helped. Good. You just keep practicing. It's like when you sit down, I played the piano as a kid. Shocking, right? I did all those kinds of things. Played piano as a kid. When I sat down with a new piece, I didn't play it perfectly. It felt hard. It felt like I was trying to get my hands together. I wasn't playing Beethoven's Fifth Symphony the first time I sat down with the sheet music, right? I had to practice. I had to figure it out. I had to punch the keys a little bit. I made mistakes. I hit the wrong keys. I didn't count right. All those things. But the more you sit down and the more you practice, then the more into flow you get when you play the piano, the more into flow you get when you eat. Okay? So think about it in those terms. You're not going to pick this program up and do those four basics perfectly the first day. You're just not. They make sense. They make a lot of sense, but it's not something you've practiced. So be patient with yourself. Practice. Tell yourself, this is me practicing. This is me figuring this out. This is me learning how to play Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. Okay? Hopefully that helps, Marcy. She says, I'll have to think about that. To my understanding, using willpower is using my will. I'm not brand new. Okay. If using your willpower feels strong to you, feels like you're using your will, it feels empowering, maybe it works for you. But to me, willpower is like really tense, really. So that's how it feels to me. It's tense. It's not forgiving. It's hard. But if your willpower doesn't feel that way, yeah, I'll give it to you. Okay. All right. I have continued to eat less and less and have not lost more weight. I continue to stay within 5 pounds up and down for the past year, no matter what I do. Feel frustrated, sleep 8 hours, drink over 80 ounces of water, 3 small meals, and maybe a snack. Husband says, I need to eat more. Help. Oh, Anonymous, we got Stalls and Plateaus program coming for you. So this is April, trusting your body. May, conquering the scale. So whoever had those scale thoughts, you got to hang out till May because we got a scale course coming. And then June is all about stalls and plateaus. And from what I understand, the biggest thing to look at when it comes to being on a stall is to be really, really super honest with yourself about whether or not there's still any overeating happening. You know, do you blow it out on the weekends? Do you have a Friday night, you know, free for all at the end of the week? Do you eat when you're not hungry? Do you eat past satisfied? You have to look at all of the overeating potential that you have first. Okay. So if you are 0% overeats, then you move on to the next thing and you look at maybe leveling up one or two of the foods that you're eating. For instance, let's say you eat peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch every day. Maybe it becomes a ham sandwich. You know, you level it up just a little bit. If you're eating a cheeseburger for dinner every night, maybe you eat a ground turkey burger. See if that changes anything. So first, look for any overeats, okay? Just one or two a week can keep you in a stall or a plateau. If there's absolutely no overeats, which I'm not certain, none of us ever have any overeats. Corinne still has overeats. Kathy still has overeats. I bet Coach Julie and Coach Kara still have overeats. If there's no overeats, then you can look at leveling some of your good foods to better foods. So Julie says, yeah, she still has overeats. Okay. So those are the things that I would look at. You eat more if your body needs more. Only you know that. If you're eating when you're hungry and you're stopping at enough and you've got around 4 hours between meals, then you're eating enough. Watch the overeats first. Patricia, looks like this is the last question. I have not weighed in months because I'm scared to see the number on the scale. I have very negative thoughts that come up when I see the number, like you can't be attractive and weigh that. If I don't weigh, I feel okay. So let me ask you, Patricia, if you're not weighing, do you feel attractive? Attractive is feeling. It's created by a thought. Okay. If you feel attractive, your thought might be, well, I look good today. Or, hey, my hair just right on point today. Good makeup, cute clothes, attractive feeling. Okay. Doesn't have anything to do with what you weigh. Nothing. Not one thing. Feeling attractive, number on the scale. The only way they are connected is if you have a thought about that number that makes you feel attractive or unattractive. Okay? So that's what I want you to see here. The number on the scale does not create a feeling. You attach a thought to the number on the scale. And here's how I know this. If I were to say right now, everybody in the chat, tell me what you think. What would you think if you stepped on the scale and it said 180 pounds? And I got 25 answers. They would be 25 different thoughts. Somebody says wonderful. Somebody says thrilled. These are feelings, right? Somebody says amazing. Someone says hell yeah. Someone says I lost weight. Someone says excited. Those are feelings that are created by a thought you have about 180 pounds. Now, if there was a 140 pound person on this call and they stepped on the scale and it said 180 pounds, they'd be like, what in the holy hell just happened? And go straight to the deuter. Right? So that's how you know that you're attaching negative thoughts to the number on the scale. The scale just spits you a number, y'all. All it does, it's just like a tape measure for weight. The scale has no feelings. It's not sitting there going, oh, I'm going to get her today, right? It has nothing. If your scale is like my Target scale, it's a $25 piece of metal with a 6-pound tolerance. That's it. You decide what you make the number mean. 180 pounds sounds great to some people and doesn't sound so good to other people. 200 pounds sounds great to some people and not to others. So you have to really watch you making the number on the scale an indictment of your character, because it's not. It is only a measurement. You feel attractive because of the way you think about yourself. You feel attractive because of the thoughts you have, not because of the number on the scale. Tricia says it makes sense. It's just so hard to change the thoughts. Yes. Yes. I'm not asking you to change the thoughts. I'm just asking you not to attach to them. Here's the difference, Patricia. All right. And this is what I will leave you all with today. When you begin to notice the thoughts you think are not serving you, that's a beautiful moment. That's called awareness. Oh, wait, every time I step on the scale, I notice I think I'm a loser. Just making that up, right? Now you have awareness that you know the first set of words your brain is going to offer you when you step on that scale are, look at you, you're a loser. That doesn't mean you have to let that thought create a feeling and drive your actions. It's just words your brain has offered you, and you get to say, there's that thought. I knew it was coming. In fact, I think I'll think it ahead of time. What else do I want to think? Open the door to what else can you think about the number on the scale? Sure, I get that thought because I've practiced it for, 30 or 40 years. It's what our brains do. They offer us those thoughts that we've practiced all the time. To just say, okay, I hear you. I noticed that I thought that. What else do I want to think about today's weigh-in? And then do your assessment. Does that help, Patricia? All right. That's everything. I am so glad to be with you today. I'm so happy to see everyone and to be here on the call with you. Don't forget DSB signups. Price is going up on the 15th. Last live event, y'all. Those of you who came to camp, I know how much you loved the live event. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like being with your people. You know, we have the Facebook group. We see each other every day. But man, when you meet and hug and hang out together, something special about it. Something so special about it. Watch for Coach Jane on Saturday to do the first Trusting Your Body worksheet call, and take any questions you have to ask coaches. All right. Have a wonderful day, you guys, and I will see you soon. Bye now.